You are now listening to the Fantasy Filler Podcast, where we put you in the driver's seat every week, all year long. In the NASCAR racing world, from top news stories, latest results, and best fantasy lineups, we'll have you up to speed and out in front before the drop of the green flag. So let's dive in with our host, Vanilla Wafers.
We are now entering the first off week of the season as NASCAR just got done with Sonoma Raceway, the final West Coast race in the regular season, and it was done on the 11-turn road course for both the Xfinity Series as well as the Cup Series. We're going to be talking about the final results, biggest takeaways, that plus more in today's episode of the Fantasy Filler Podcast. Hopefully you guys were able to watch the races here this weekend and got to enjoy them. I was at the racetrack and I got plenty of stories to share with you guys on that one. I had myself an absolute great time. If you follow me on social media, you saw all the photos I got to take. TikTok, I just randomly posted a video right now on random videos that I didn't even know existed, because I may have had a little too much fun at the 50-acre campground that Sonoma Raceway has, but overall, my experience was an absolute blast. Sonoma just may not be one of those racetracks where it's exciting to watch on TV, but man, when you attend it live, whoo, man, it is a lot of fun. Just all the extra amenities you can do outside of the race, the access that fans have without having to pay a premium price to go into the garage area. Like, the main grandstand is right next to the garage area, so fans have a lot of opportunities to meet drivers and also team members from each crew. And I don't know that many other racetracks that you get that opportunity to do that. I got a little bit more opportunities. I got to go into the garage area and meet with a few of the Xfinity Series team and Cup Series team. Special thanks to Circle B Diecast as well as Live Fast Motorsports for giving me that great opportunity once again. And I also got to meet a few of you guys out there, which was a spectacular experience to meet a few of you. It's always great to hear from you guys and to just see faces, because I'm mostly just talking to a screen, whether it's this podcast or some of my social media. So to actually see fans and hear what you guys really enjoy and what you guys would want to see more of, it's just a blessed feeling to have. So thank you guys for everyone I got to meet, and thank you to all the people who listen and watch every single one of my videos, because you give me the opportunities to go to Sonoma Raceway, to go to other racetracks, so I get the chance to meet you guys as well as get more insight for the races. So enough on that tangent. We'll talk about more things as time goes on. But here at Sonoma, got a few interesting takeaways. I mean, we got the inaugural Xfinity Series race here at Sonoma, and there was one driver who really dominated the race, but in the end, it was a different driver who was able to take the victory, so we'll talk about that. The Cup Series race, there was no stage breaks, and people are starting to question if we really need to take away stage breaks or not, because they felt like it didn't make too much of a difference. I will share my insight on that, as well as some of the drivers who absolutely dominated this race, and some drivers who let us down, because I learned a quick lesson throughout this weekend, and that is, we really need to keep track on practice and qualifying before we make our fantasy picks, because, whoo-wee, there were some drivers who should have did good in this race that didn't do anything at all. Like, I was so damn shocked on that one. So don't worry, we will be able to talk about that and more. So without further ado, why don't we dive into the first race here this weekend. There was an ARCA Menards Series West race that happened that had a few Xfinity Series drivers and Ryan Preece running in the race. The biggest thing you got to know about that race was Ryan Preece won in dominating fashion. It was pretty cool to meet a lot of those ARCA Series drivers, but you can definitely tell that a lot of the drivers from the Xfinity Series and Cup Series went down there and just absolutely dominated it. There was one driver named Landon Lewis in the number 17 who had a great performance, the only one to really keep up with those guys. Unfortunately, he got caught up in an incident there near the end, was not able to finish, so got to give a shout out to him. But that was really the biggest thing, was Ryan Preece attended this race and he absolutely killed it with his number 9 car, which was a Stewart Haas Racing affiliated car. But now let's dive into the Saturday race. This was the 14th race of the 2023 season. Let's look at the final results and biggest takeaways for the DoorDash 250. So in this race, we had a total of 41 cars on the entry list. Three more from last weekend as they were in Portland. The three extra add-ons were the number 17 of Kyle Larson for Henrik Motorsports, the number 29 machine for RSS Racing of Alex LeBay, as they were a four-car team this weekend. And then you had the number 36 for DGM Racing. That was driven by Josh Balicki. So those were the three extra add-ons last weekend. Everyone was able to make it in. The three drivers who unfortunately could not make it into this race due to qualifying was the number 6 of Brandon Poole for JD Motorsports, the number 35 of Leland Honeyman for Joey Gase Racing, and then the number 66 of Mason Felipe for MBM Motorsports. Big bummer for the number 66 team, as I do believe that now makes more races for them that they have missed rather than made into the main event. So it's been really, really tough showing for that number 66 team. Also, some things to talk about before we dive into the final results. There was one car that had to go to a backup, and that was the number 78 of Anthony Alfredo. And what unfortunately happened to him was his throttle stuck going down the start-finish line. And fortunately, could not slow it down, slammed the wall super hard, and then he stopped by the tires. I talked to him afterwards, and he said he was hurting. He said he was super sore. So they had to go to the backup car, which was the car that they ran at Portland International Raceway. In the end, though, even though Kyle Larson was the most dominant car, won both stages, led 53 laps, the winner of the race was a driver who has won the Xfinity Series before, but it was for a team that just got their first victory this weekend. I am talking about the number 28 of Eric Almirola with a great pit strategy to get in front of the number 17 car. He was able to hold his ground, just overall a great performance for him. Finished third in stage one, sixth in stage two, but he led the most important laps at the end, and he is your winner here at the DoorDash 250. Honestly, I did not expect great things out of Eric Almirola. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I felt like RSS Racing may have been able to provide him maybe a top 15 car, but he definitely impressed me just by the first half of this race. Just running around inside the top five for the most part, I was already impressed at that point. But then he had the pit strategy, and on the restart, he was able to get by as some cars stayed out, which really held up Kyle Larson. And it was only a matter of time, we felt like, that the number 17 was going to be able to get around him. But that didn't happen. We'll talk about the spot where he absolutely lost all his ground here in just a moment. But credit to Eric Almirola on that performance. That was a really great run. He had a pretty good fan base there for the sponsorship. He had the Michael Roberts Construction. They had a whole group in front of me, and they were going nuts every single lap. So I'm super happy those guys got to see that car in victory lane, because it was a great time watching that 28 car hold off that number 17. And yeah, you don't expect a driver like Eric Almirola to be so dominant at a road course event. And he just did a great job for this team. Ryan Sieg, I guess, he did not know that one of his cars won until he was in the garage area. He gets out and someone tells him, he's like, oh crap, he won it? So that was kind of funny to hear that, and you just got to be happy for that team. Just all around, just a happy-go-lucky team. I got the opportunity to meet them at Circuit of the Americas. All of them were super friendly, so I'm very happy to see them get this victory. Finishing second, we have the number 10 of AJ Allmendinger. He was definitely the second-best car throughout the entire race. And for him to finish second kind of fits it perfectly. I mean, he finished second in both the stages, and he finished second overall. It seems like this is one of his weaker road course racetracks, and he still does a really, really good job. In this race, he was able to lead two laps, but he clearly, I don't think he was going to be able to win this race unless maybe the leaders took each other out. That was about it. He just didn't have the same speed as some of the other drivers who ran up front, but still nothing to really be ashamed about. Just a really good run for them in that number 10 machine for Colic Racing. I just think there was just a few teams that just had the slight advantage on them, but AJ Allmendinger once again showing everyone why he's one of the best drivers when it comes to the road courses here in the Xfinity Series. Now to talk about the third place driver, the number 17 of Kyle Larson. If there was a cursed car in the Xfinity Series, the number 17 car for Henrik Motorsports is definitely one of them. It's not because they run into like major problems, like they get a random accident that happens to them. No, it just seems like one mistake in a race, just one mistake, always costs them an opportunity to win the race. They could be one of the fastest teams, and here in this race, they absolutely were. Nobody could keep up with them in any any shape or form. Then they get the bad restart where they get caught up behind a few drivers. Then they get to the right of the back bumper of Eric Almirola. Kyle Larson is pushing as hard as he could. You can absolutely see it. Then he goes around turn 11, hits the tire barrier, shoots the car straight to the left, and he loses not only his opportunity to win the race, but also the second position as well. You just got to be absolutely heartbroken for those guys, because they do everything they can to get this number 17 car in victory lane. It seems like something always comes up for them, because even at Circuit of the Americas, I thought William Byron was going to win that race, and then he gets loose going down the S's, and he could never catch back up to AJ Allmendinger. Road America last year, I remember Kyle Larson was the dominant car, and then Ty Gibbs came out of nowhere and was able to beat him in one corner because there was a slight mistake. It's just unbelievable. I just noticed that. Kyle Larson didn't really take any interviews. You can definitely tell he was heartbroken, and rightfully so. I think these guys just want to do everything they can to get this car into victory lane, and when they're not able to do so, they consider it a failure. I really do believe that, and you could just hear it in his voice when they called him afterwards. He was just very heartbroken. So, bit of a bummer for Kyle Larson to run this race and not able to seal the deal after just having such an impressive car. Here's the rest of the top five. We have the number 19 of Ty Gibbs, had himself a pretty consistent run, just running around the top five. Never really a factor, but still a good run. And then the top finishing Xfinity Series driver who's running for the championship was Parker Kligerman in the number 48 machine for Big Machine Racing. I'm always a big fan of Parker Kligerman, especially when it comes to these road course races. He did a really, really impressive job here in this race. It looked like Justin Allgaier was going to be the best performing car for the Xfinity Series main drivers, but having Parker Kligerman just come out of nowhere and be able to finish inside the top five. I shouldn't say out of nowhere, because he was running around in the top 10. But to be that strong there near the end, you got to give big kudos to him and that team. That team is definitely a smaller team, and these road courses really help them out. They got a few more coming up here. They're going to be running the Indianapolis road course race. You also got Mid-Ohio. So they got more opportunities to get themselves really solid finishes. And I don't think you're going to see that many Cup drivers, if any, for that Mid-Ohio race. You might see a truck driver here and there, but I don't have really an issue with that at all, because, I mean, those guys are moving up. They're not moving down to race here in the Xfinity Series. So keep an eye on him, because he was able to win that race last year in the truck series. Could be a factor here in the coming weeks. Rest of the top 10 we have here is the 00 of Cole Custer, the number 7 of Justin Allgaier, the number 21 of Austin Hill, a top finishing rookie, the number 18 of Sammy Smith, and then rounding out the top 10, the number 1 of Sam Mayer. None of these names really pop out to me as surprisers to finish here in the top 10. These guys were all run really well at road courses as it is. Sammy Smith ran in the ARCA race as well. He finished second, if not second, third. So he was already having a good performance as it was when it came to this racetrack. So I think a top 10 for him, he's got to be pretty happy about that. Austin Hill able to lead a few laps here in this race. And at one point he was able to finish fifth in one of the stages. So he has to be happy about that. One driver that shocked me that really wasn't a front runner that I could have swore was going to be was the number 2 of Sheldon Creed. He started third, and I thought he was going to be the top-running Xfinity Series main driver, and that just was not the case. I don't know if they were just didn't have the speed that they were looking for, or maybe the strategies didn't work out. I don't know. They lost a lot of positions early. They weren't really able to recover, so an 11th place finish is kind of a bummer for that team. At the same time, you know, it's really hard to say, because I felt like Sheldon Creed was going to be a top performer here. Maybe it's more the flat road courses. That's just where he's better at. This race is more has more uphill, downhill, is way more technical. So maybe Sheldon Creed wasn't as prepared as we initially thought he was going to be, because you can see the drivers from the Cup Series were way more prepared in this race compared to other drivers. So Sheldon Creed, I think, just let us down just a little bit in expectations, but still an 11th place finish. I mean, you can't be horribly upset about that. Here are some drivers who did let us down here as we go down lower in the roster. John Hunter Nemechek unfortunately finished his 16th in this race after really a very chaotic race for the Xfinity Series driver, where he was running up front. Then he makes contact with another driver, makes contact with his teammate, all that. We expect him to potentially be another front-running event for him, and that just wasn't the case. He was able to finish 7th in one of the stages, but only able to muster a 16th place finish there at the end. I think he spun around at one point. So, again, another race where it was very chaotic for him in the road course event. So, road courses haven't been too nice to John Hunter Nemechek, even though he has pretty decent cars here at these types of racetracks. the finishes haven't really shown the performance. So definitely a thumbs down for him. Ross Chastain, Ty Dillon, as well as Daniel Suarez were not able to finish inside the top 15 when a lot of people expected them to run really well. I thought Daniel Suarez was going to be a top 10 driver. I did not expect him to win the race because SSS Greenlight Racing don't really have the strongest cars in the world. But, man, 27th place finish, that's a big bummer. Apparently, he had to come in due to a restart violation, so that definitely affected him in a negative way, obviously. It's very hard to make passes as it is, so when you get a restart violation, your day's done. But, yeah, Daniel Suarez finished 27th in a race he just won last year in the Cup Series. Not many people were really expecting that out of him. So, yeah, he's got to be bummed out as he was the lowest performing Cup Series driver here in this race. And now let's focus on a few drivers here in the very back that we need to talk about. We're going to go from 33rd on back because I got a little extra insight from each one of these guys. First one being Josh Berry. I just said I had insight. A lot of people were very confused on what was going on with Josh Berry. I thought he at one point he had a flat tire. Then they were going underneath the hood. Then they were going underneath the passenger side. There were so many things going on with that number 8 machine that I have no idea what happened to them at the very end. It was overall just a horrendous race for them, just for the fact that they just kept having to go down pit road, kept losing laps left and right. So definitely a big bummer for them because their day was over before it really began. And I wish I had a little bit more insight on them. Unfortunately, we could not find anything. I even talked to Brock Beard, who is a great YouTuber that talks about a lot of people who finish near the back of races. He gives us a lot of insight, and he didn't even know. So that just shows you kind of how lost we were as far as that situation went. Another driver who struggled was the number 44, Sage Karam. Sage Karam, he had a strategy that looked like it was going to work out for him, and then he gets hit from behind, and then he suffers transmission issues, so his day quickly fell apart for him, and it was, again, another bad performance for Alpha Prime Racing. Dylan Lupton was the top-performing driver out of all of them, and that was a 24th place finish. Sage Karam finishes 34th, and Jeffrey Earnhardt, he also gets damage in this race, not able to continue. He is out on lap number 59 and finishes 36th overall in this race. Josh Williams had some suspension issues. He was able to get it fixed, goes back out on the racetrack, and then he has to come back in. Just not a great day. I thought he was going to be done way beforehand. Way beforehand, I thought he was done. But somehow, some way, he was able to get that car back going, but not a good finish for him. And then the final two drivers I feel really bad for, Anthony Alfredo and Parker Retzlaff. If you couldn't have had the worst things happen to drivers who just needed a break. Because Parker Retzlaff, in the ARCA West Series race, he unfortunately suffers mechanical issues there, so he's not able to finish that race. He is sick in the morning. They have Austin Dillon actually fitting for that car because they thought he was going to need a replacement. He starts to feel a little bit better. I talked to him. He looks like he's a little bit better, but you can tell something's still a little off. Maybe he's a little sick. I can't confirm that. But he needs a decent race, and it looks like it's going to be a decent race for him because he qualified 16th. Then he has transmission issues. They keep working on it in the garage area. They think they're going to get back out, and then right when they get the car started back up, it all of a sudden dies once again. Just like that. And their day is done. They finished 38th. Just two terrible finishes for Parker Retzlaff when a lot of people expected him to run really good. I thought there was a good chance that he could get a top 20 in both his races. Hell, I even thought he was going to get a top 10 in the ARCA West Series. Instead, he finishes there in the back in that ARCA West Series racing, finished last in this one. So, big bummer for them. They just didn't have anything going their direction. Same thing with Anthony Alfredo. They suffered suspension issues. Again, it looked like the car had a little bit of speed, but the telltale for BJ McLeod Motorsports, it's just been mechanical issue after mechanical issue, and here's another example. I'm not surprised that they suffered suspension issues here in this race because this was their Portland car, and obviously in Portland, they don't have many jumps. They're not going uphill down here and not hitting those ramps and all that stuff. So I'm really not surprised that they suffered suspension issues. I shouldn't say ramps. I should say the rumble strips, but yeah, just no luck for either two of these drivers. Anthony Alfredo, I got to talk to him afterwards. He was very, very upset. And he's trying to look at the positive side. He told me, you know, it's God's plan. We don't know what he has planned, but he's definitely testing us, that's for sure. And I got a good feeling for him at Atlanta Motor Speedway. I thought this was going to be a really good race for him, and it just didn't turn out to be like that. Once you go into your backup car, it's really hard to recover, especially for these smaller teams who don't really have that backup car for a race. They're usually running a car that they just ran the week before. So, yeah, bummer for those guys. Overall, this race was it was pretty fun from a fan's perspective. If you're not going to focus on the lead, unfortunately, Kyle Larson was stinking up the show a little bit, but there was a lot of battling going on in between, and I hopefully Fox Sports was showing that. I'm almost certain they didn't, but there was a lot of action going on throughout the entire racetrack. Like, every position was a dogfight. You would see guys going, passing each other left and right, just duking each other out. There was not one driver who was really safe. Really, the safest spot was the first position. That was about it. That was where the least amount of action was going on. The rest of the racetrack, there was a lot of fun stuff. And then the action at the very end, when they did bunch everyone back up and Eric Almirola had the lead, that was fun. That was very intense. And I think people really did appreciate that. And Xfinity Series should return back to Sonoma for a couple reasons. One, it was a really fun race. Two, and many people may agree or disagree, but I personally like it when you see Cup Series drivers come down to the Xfinity Series race and not the ARCA Menards West Series race, because there was only one Cup Series driver that went down to the ARCA Menards West Series race, and that was Ryan Preece, and he dominated that race. Beforehand, you'd always have that one Cup Series driver who would just destroy everybody, like it wasn't even close. And for them to come to the Xfinity Series race, I can appreciate that a little bit because, one, it's going to get people really excited for the race. Two, it gives these guys a lot of practice for the Cup Series race as it is. I'm very surprised that not one of them were able to get the checkered flag for the Cup Series race. A spoiler. Again, not really, because we all know who really dominated that race. And three, it takes away one of those races where these Cup Series drivers were already going to run. So, I mean, I know some people could be a little bummed out by that, but it does supply more excitement, and we really did get it overall here in this race. So I give this race a solid 8 out of 10, even though maybe on TV it didn't really show that. It was still actually a really fun race for a lot of the field just because of how intense the racing was back and forth. Now let's move on to the big race that happened on Sunday. This is the 16th race of the 2023 season. It is now time to dive into the final results for the Toyota Safe Mart 350. All right, so in this race, we had a total of 36 cars on the entry list. Meaning only the charter cars entered into the event. No open charter cars at this time. We had a total of 2 cautions for 6 laps. One of those cautions was kind of a gimme as it was. We'll talk about that here in a second. And 10 lead changes among 6 different drivers. That might sound like a lot of lead changes for a road course event, and I'm being kind of sarcastic, but even then, it felt like it was way less than that because the guy who won the race just had the best showing, just overall, just the strongest performance, and getting his second win of the 2023 season in a points-paying race. I'm talking about the number 19 of Martin Truex Jr. for Joe Gibbs Racing, getting a big win in that number 19 machine, leading 51 laps here in this race. I was a little nervous about using him as far as fantasy picks went, but he did not disappoint at all. Finally, able to put everything together and win at a racetrack that he's been really dominant at in the past. Puts himself at the second all-time win list here in Sonoma Cup Series races, only behind Jeff Gordon, who has 5. I mean, after lap number 30-something, when Denny Hamlin was leading the first chunk of the race, once he made that pass, Martin Truex Jr., there was no stopping him. You could have did every pit strategy in the book. It was going to be near impossible to beat him here in this race. So he clearly deserved this win. He clearly had the strongest car. And although many people may not be happy with this performance, it was just a great showing by Martin Truex Jr. and that team. Just showing everybody that he still has it in him. He still has some great performances. He was able to win at Dover, I think. A couple episodes ago, I said Richmond, which I need to apologize for that one because I feel like kind of an idiot for saying that. But wins at Dover. Now he wins at Sonoma. He also got a win in the LA Clash. Those are three pretty different types of racetracks. So these guys are looking really, really good. He was kind of even as far as his points went compared to last season, but he never really looked like he was a factor to win races. Now, after this win, man, they got to be sitting on cloud nine. So great job for Martin Truex Jr. and great job for Jamie Small just putting on themselves a great car here for this race. Second place, Kyle Busch. The reason why Kyle Busch finished second here in this race, he had smart pit strategies that worked in his favor. He said himself that he had a car that could maintain position, but that was about it. He wasn't going to be able to advance position. So really lucky for him as well as Joey Logano. This is one of those races where pit strategy is very important, which is why a lot of people really don't like stage cautions here, especially at Sonoma, because it kind of neutered that opportunity. And here you saw that chance with Kyle Busch and Joey Logano to finish near the front. Although they weren't contenders for the victory, I guess Kyle Busch had kind of speed. They still showed, hey, strategy plays a major importance here at this racetrack. And for both of them to finish inside the top three, that was absolutely shocking to me. We had Kyle Busch as a top pick, but I'm going to be honest with you. In the first half of that race, I was scared. I was thinking to myself, oh, man, that was not a good pick on my part. But he recovered. He recovered, and for him to win stage two and be able to score 45 points overall, they got to be happy about that. So good job for Kyle Busch. Chris Buescher finishing fourth, and once again showing everyone that road courses is starting to become one of his favorite types of racetracks. So I think from now on, Chris Buescher is definitely a great pick to go with when it comes to this, because now he has the longest active streak of top 10 finishes when it comes to any type of road course. So that includes Circuit of the Americas, the Charlotte Roval Bowl, the Indianapolis Road Course, Road America, Sonoma. That he had a second place finish last year, and now he gets a fourth place finish here this year. Just great jobs by him and RFK Racing for putting on that fast of a car. So you can trust Chris Buescher now when it comes to these types of events. Chase Elliott finishing fifth. That's honestly kind of a little bit of a lackluster finish because he did not get any stage points. He did a strategy there near the end where he stayed out front, but he actually let Martin Truex Jr. go. He knew he had nothing for that number 19 machine. So Hendrick Motorsports was definitely a bummer here in this race. I'm looking at this. The only one to really score any types of stage points with William Byron. Alex Bowman was able to finish ninth in stage one. William Byron was able to finish fourth. But the only reason he got that was due to the pit strategy. So maybe I got to actually switch that around. I think overall and performance-wise, Alex Bowman was the only one to get stage points. Chase Elliott, Kyle Larson, zero stage points. So they were a bit of a letdown. They weren't really top picks. They were mid-tier picks. Just the fact that they were able to finish fifth and eighth is kind of shocking to me. But at least Chase Elliott was able to get a top five finish. So he still shows his speed as far as him being a road course racer. AJ Allmendinger did really good in this race, was able to finish sixth. I think maybe people thought he would do a little bit better, but you know what? I'd say he was still more of a gamble pick just for the fact that he hasn't had the most success in the world when it comes to this particular racetrack. I think for the next few road course races, you can trust him 100%. This was the only one I was worried about, and he had himself a really good run. So big kudos to that team and Colic Racing for having not only a good car in the Xfinity Series, but also in the Cup Series race as well. The most impressive one in my eyes in this race was the number 34, Michael McDowell. Michael McDowell was hands down one of the most impressive ones. Now, I know Chris Buescher finished fourth, and don't take that away from Chris Buescher because he definitely deserves all the kudos, but Michael McDowell, one point, he looked like he was the second fastest car on the racetrack. I don't think there was going to be any way anyone was going to beat Martin Truex Jr. unless something crazy happened out on the racetrack. But for that 34 team, Front Row Motorsports, to have that good of a run here, again, this is now back-to-back times here at Sonoma where they finished third last year. And this race, they got multiple stage points. They led a lap. They scored 39 points. They got to be super happy about that and is now become another driver to consider when it comes to road course races. Like, more comfortable than drivers you would expect. Like, I don't know, like drivers like Daniel Suarez and Ryan Blaney, they didn't really show us anything here in this race. So Michael McDowell, definitely a great run and good job for Front Row Motorsports. And by the way, he was one of the nicest drivers. So for most of you guys that saw my social media, you guys see me wear that big-ass hat. I wore it all around the racetrack. And the first driver to compliment me was not William Byron, but Michael McDowell He looked at me and he's like, dude, I love that hat, and gave me a fist pump. Or he said, right on, man, and gave me a fist pump. That's pretty cool, Michael McDowell. So he has a special place now in my heart now after doing that, being the first driver to say, compliment me on my hat. So that's really cool. But he had a great weekend. And from here on out, you can trust Michael McDowell. At the very, very least, Sonoma, he should be a mid-tier pick at a minimum. Rest of the top 10, we have Kyle Larson. We just talked about him a little bit. Christopher Bell actually had himself a pretty decent run. So great job for Christopher Bell. I was very nervous about him, but he was actually one of the better performing Toyotas, only behind Martin Truex Jr. as far as fantasy points went. And then Ross Chastain, he was a mid-tier pick for sure, scoring 35 points. I think maybe people thought he could have did a little bit better there near the end, but hey, you know what? A top 10 finish, especially after the last 2 weeks of bad finishes, that's a step in the right direction, and they absolutely needed that. Here are some drivers who struggled in this race that absolutely shocked us. One being the number 99, Daniel Suarez. I was very, very surprised on this one. Right when the green flag dropped, he just lost positions and lost positions and lost positions. I am just beyond shocked on his performance. And there's really nothing else really to say. I'm just shocked. Really, really surprised to see them struggle that bad. I didn't really hear anything like mechanical issues wise. Maybe they did say it over on the broadcast, but I didn't really hear anything from my end in the garage area. But Daniel Suarez did not do anything. And I had to bench him just immediately, because of just how many positions he lost from the get-go. Right from the beginning, it was just a nightmare race for them. So they were definitely a big downer here in this race. Tyler Reddick, I'd say he was already a downer as it was before his incident. And then it went really downhill for him as he got some damage going out of turn 11. And kudos to him to circle back around and go into the pit area. Some drivers wouldn't do that. Some drivers would still go around the racetrack, maybe stall out and bring out a caution. He didn't do that. You got to give kudos to him for doing that. Unfortunately, it did cost him an opportunity to get any type of good finish here in this race. So Tyler Reddick, I think him running 6th or 7th was already a bit of a downer, but then he had that tire issue and then everything fell apart. So bad break for them and that team. I don't think this kills them as far as them relying on them for road courses. I still think that he is a great road course racer. It's just here at Sonoma has been the tougher one for him. So he's more of a riskier pick moving on forward when it comes to Sonoma Raceway, if we can remember that. I don't even know if I'm going to be able to remember that. We'll see. Kevin Harvick, I thought he was going to be more of a front pick, and then we saw qualifying practice, and it turned out he was going to be a mid-tier pick. At the very least, he was able to get an 11th place finish, so I guess kind of kudos for him. But I expected a little bit more out of him. Having him as a top pick was probably not the best decision on our part. But I still think people would not be too mad if they saw him more as a 4th or 5th pick. At least he was able to provide that. I think it was just kind of one of those mellow days. Stuart Haas Racing didn't really have too much of anything for this race, because if you look at everybody, you see Eric Almirola in the 28th position, Chase Briscoe in the 29th position, and then Ryan Preece in the 41 finishes 13th. I guess an okay finish for Ryan Preece, but Stuart Haas Racing just struggled as a whole. Not one car able to finish inside the top 10. We just talked about Daniel Suarez and his problems. Ryan Blaney, everything bad happened to him there near the end. Goes, it stays out on strategy, then gets taken out by, I think, Michael McDowell, 34 was one of them. And then he got taken out again going out of turn 7, and he finishes 31st overall in this race. Ooh, man, what a bad way for him to end that race. He was not happy at all. So 31st place finish for him definitely let a lot of people down. And then the Gamble drivers, this one shocked me the most. Out of all the drivers, this one hurt the most, and that was the number 2 of Austin Cindric. Whatever was going on with Team Penske, and this is why I didn't talk too much about Ryan Blaine, I just want to move on and immediately talk about Austin Cindric. The Penske team as a whole did not have great cars. Joey Logano finished 3rd, yes, but that was mostly due to a pit strategy. If he doesn't have that pit strategy, at best he's finishing 15th. I don't know what happened to these guys. They didn't have anything. Austin Cindric just absolutely shocked me because we see him as a great road course racer. Last year, he finished inside the top 10. I think he actually finished inside the top 5. What happened in this race? He was never a factor at all. And where he finished 25th was probably his highest running position. And that was mostly because a lot of people were spinning out. It was just an absolute terrible performance for him. And there's really not much else to say except Team Penske dropped the ball here in this race. There, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I mean, look at their qualifying spots. This is going to include Harrison Burton as well. Harrison Burton qualified 36th, slowest. Austin Cindric, 34th. Ryan Blaney, 31st. Joey Logano was the only one who did okay at 17th. No speed at all. And here in this race, it did not show it. So Austin Cindric, you got to watch qualifying practice from here on out, because even though he's a talented road course racer, there's a good chance that Penske's not going to bring anything to the table. I think a lot of people were riding high on him on that team, including myself, thanks to their great performance in the Coca-Cola 600, as well as a great run at Gateway. And then this race happened, and then reality set back in. So not a great run for Austin Cindric. Definitely a big bummer there. Zane Smith in the 38, I expected a better run out of him, but he also had his struggles. And then he had that tire issue on pit road, which, by the way, hey, NASCAR, way to give some type of reason to throw a caution. A lot of people were expecting that maybe, just maybe, we were going to have it go green all the way to the end. First time that would happen in over 21 years. But then they see Zane Smith's tire get loose. And boy, oh boy, did they throw that caution as fast as they could. Zane Smith was still able to continue in the race. But he was stuck a lap down. He finished 34th overall in this race. So not the great run 38 team needed. By the way, Zane Smith drives a 38 car, replacing Todd Gillen. Todd Gillen, number 51, finished 24th. Zane Smith finished 34th. So Todd Gillen's given a lot of reasons why he deserves a full-time car with Front Row Motorsports, because I think he's only like maybe a race behind the cutoff line. And he is jumping from car to car. He's been in the 36th car, which is the third car for the team. And now he's running six races for the number 51 team of Rick Ware Racing, which is, of course, a slower team. And for him to be only one race behind the cut line, that's still very impressive. You got to give kudos where credit is due. And Todd Gillen is putting on a great performance. And for him to finish 24th in that 51 car, I think that's a win. But that was a huge loss for Zane Smith in the number 38 machine. And then wrapping up the field, you have the number 11 of Denny Hamlin. First time in quite a while that the driver from the pole finished dead last. He was the only driver not able to finish this race. And there's just no other way to put it. He made a huge mistake in an area that you never really see mistakes at, unless it's on a restart. That's about it where you see mistakes here at Sonoma at the start-finish line. But somehow Denny Hamlin did it, hit the wall, then destroyed his tow bar. This car may be very, very strong, but the internally, it is pretty fragile. And we saw it here in this number 11 machine. For him to finish 36th, that's got to be a heartbreaker, and it's been a very, very long time since we've seen the driver who started on the pole finish in the last position. Led 33 laps. He had himself a really good running in this race. I think maybe he could have snuck in with a top 10 finish near the end. He clearly wasn't the strongest driver, but man, making contact with that wall, that was definitely a huge bummer for him in this race. Overall, the racing, if you focus up front, it was a boring race. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Strategy-wise, I really did enjoy it. You know, the cautions did not really work in favor to make things really, really interesting, except for Kyle Busch, Joey Logano, William Byron, and I think there was another driver who also stayed out. I think Austin Dillon, even though he spun out in the middle of the race, he was able to get back going and was able to get stage points in stage two, and then I think Ross Chastain was another one who stayed out. So there was a little bit mixing and matching, and so we still got to see if getting rid of stage cautions for road courses is the smart idea. Right now, it's still really early to tell. We really haven't been able to see that for Circuit of the Americas in Sonoma, just because there was this one guy who dominated the race here at Sonoma. And then Circuit of the Americas, it was just cautions flew at the exact points when it was just like, ah, can't really make a strategy out of that now, can we? So Racing-wise, this is definitely going to be ranked lower. I think it's going to be, for me, a 6 out of 10. I understand that, for me, it's going to be very biased because I really did enjoy the race, but I'm trying to see it from your guys' perspective. And overall, I would say it was a low-passing race, and the strategies weren't really that exciting. And passing was really, really hard in this race. I kept an eye on the number 78 machine, and yeah, at most, I could see a driver make one or two passes in a single lap, but that was about it. So overall, this race is ranked near the lower end, but I will say one positive thing. I will say this. At least we don't have to watch NASCAR on Fox for the rest of the 2023 season. Because I guess people start shouting again that they had terrible coverage. And I saw it on one TV where, if you guys don't know this, in the garage area, they show the Fox broadcast. But when they cut to commercial, they actually have the camera still going so they can keep showing the race in case something happens during the caution stint. So I was able to see that for the most part. But when I saw the broadcast, I kept seeing it cut back and forth. So NBC Sports, hey, we welcome you here in 2 weeks. Hopefully you can give us some great showings of the race because Fox really did not show it here this year. And here at Sonoma, it ended about the same way for them as it did throughout the rest of the 2023 season. That will conclude the final results for today's episode, guys. Thank you so much for listening. I hate to do this, but I think I gotta apologize for our matchups because I realized I did not get one single matchup correct. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, the featured matchups where you have drivers go up against each other, I did not get one correct for you guys. Not one. And I saw it in my fantasy picks because I finished like 36th in our fantasy league. I did dog doo-doo. But a few of you guys decided not to listen to me, and it was actually really smart of you guys because we had 6 people score 200-plus points. Here is the top 3 from this weekend. We have Crashing. I don't think you finished in the top 3 before here, so a new name makes it into the top 3, scoring 208 points. Then we got Kelly K with 212 points. And then the winner here in this weekend, and by good margin, too, 21 points, final score being 231 points. We have Powder Spring Maulers able to score 231 here this weekend. Great job to you guys. The best performing fantasy roster you could have possibly had was having Martin Truex Jr., obviously. And then you had Kyle Busch, Joey Logano, Chris Buescher, and then Michael McDowell and AJ Allmendinger. Those were the 6 best performing drivers. Actually, scratch Chris Buescher and throw in Christopher Bell. Then all those drivers were able to score 37-plus points. If you count Chris Buescher, don't count Chris Buescher, 38-plus points. So good job to all you guys as far as Fantasy League. If you want to join Fantasy League for an opportunity to finish in the top 3 and get a shout-out, make sure to go to fantasygames.nascar.com. Look up NASCAR Fantasy Filler League. We have 73 members. Absolutely crazy. Absolutely competitive right now. And you're probably not going to be able to win the Fantasy League, I'm going to be honest with you. But hey, you still have a good chance to finish in the top 3 as the points always reset per weekend. So keep that one in mind. Again, fantasygames.nascar.com. NASCAR Fantasy Fillers is the league. If you want to follow me on social media, you can do so looking up VanillaWafers44 for TikTok, Twitter, and YouTube. I post daily videos on TikTok, and then YouTube, I try to post more narrative videos. I might add a few more extra things. I'm still debating on it because if I add more to YouTube, then I take away from the other channels. So I'm really trying to debate on that. Hopefully I can get a better schedule working out there. But again, VanillaWafers44, you'll be able to find me on those 3 channels. And then Instagram is VanillaWafers33. I'm posting a lot of the Sonoma pictures there, and I'm going to continue to keep doing that. And I might do a giveaway here soon to get a little bit more traction there because it's still in the early development. But I'm going to focus on Instagram a lot, and I'm going to include stuff from TikTok so people who don't want to use TikTok can still see those videos. I totally get it if you don't want to use TikTok. So we'll get that one going. More details here in the future. But we'll see what happens here next week. I think we might be taking the next week off just for the simple fact we won't have racing next weekend as it will be an off week. So enjoy Father's Day weekend. There won't be any NASCAR races, so focus your time with your dad or whoever you want to be with during that weekend. It should be a pretty sunny weekend all around the United States. And then next week, or the week after, excuse me, we will have Nashville Speedway. It will be a night race, so that race should be a lot of fun. But let's wrap up the episode there, guys. I have been your host, Vanilla Wafers, and I've been able to take you to the front of the field. So why don't we grab that checkered flag, do some burnouts, and head on out. So you all take care. This has been the Fantasy Filler Podcast.